Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this Palm Sunday, as we remember how he rode into Jerusalem that day, receiving the praise that was his due. And yet we know just days later, people would be calling for his execution. It shows how fickle we as human beings can be. And Father, you know that. You know how our sinfulness, you know how vile we are in our base nature. And yet, despite all of that, and despite the fact that you would have been perfectly just to condemn us all to eternal damnation, instead, you sent Jesus to come that day, and he knew full well what was coming for him. We praise you that he willingly came, became a man, took on the form of humanity, while still remaining God, so that he could then be the perfect sacrifice and pay the price for all of our sins, that we could go free. Not free to sin, not free to go on and do whatever we feel like, but free to be yours once again, as we were designed and created to be, to fulfill your will and your plan and your calling upon us. That's where we find real joy. And Father, we thank you for the Savior, our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for all the praise and worship and glory that goes to him. It's happening in heaven right now, as well as praise going to you. And we join in that song here during this hour. We thank you for the privilege as believers we have to do so. And we thank you that even as we sing, as we worship, as we hear the word preached in this hour, we know what the future is. We're awaiting the return of our Savior to call us home. And we know why we're here. We're here to proclaim his message, to tell others about him, that they can be saved. We pray that this hour will help encourage us in all of these things and more. All the things you have on your heart and mind that you want each of us to take today. We are waiting before you, ready to receive what you have for us. Father, we commit this hour to you and pray that your Spirit will do his mighty work in each heart, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
From Matthew chapter 21, about the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them to me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes. And they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said to them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word to our hearts. We're reminded once again this year of that time when Jesus went into the city of Jerusalem and proclaimed himself to be the Messiah, the King. And we praise you and thank you today that you are still our King, and someday you are going to rule and reign here upon this earth. We praise you and thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are to us today, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord and our Master. Help us, O Lord, to walk in fellowship with you and do your will in all things. Dear Lord, we do pray for each one who is here today. You know our hearts. You know each one of us, and you know exactly what we're thinking, what we're doing. And we pray that you will encourage us and strengthen us and help us. We pray for any who have spiritual needs today, our Father, some who may be disillusioned, some that may be discouraged. We just pray that you will strengthen each one and help us. And those, if there's someone here that's lost, we pray that they will come and be found, that they might come to the Lord Jesus and have eternal life. Our Father, we do pray for those who are ill today. We pray that you'll meet their needs and that you will undertake for them in every way. We think of Ruth that's going to have this heart catheterization tomorrow. We pray that everything will go well for that and that she may come through it successfully. We pray too for Krista as she's in the hospital there in San Diego. We pray that you will undertake for her and grant that she might soon be much better and be able to return home. We just ask you, Lord, to undertake for all of us and give us that encouragement that we need for our lives. We pray for the situation in Ukraine, our Father. Our hearts are broken as we think of all that's going on over there and all the devastation and destruction and people dying. And we just pray, Lord, that you will help those who are able to do something about this, that they would. And Lord, we pray that soon this war would be over. Lord, we know there's going to be wars and rumors of war until the end. The Lord Jesus said that, and we can see it. It's very evident. And we just pray that you'll help us to be faithful in the midst of whatever situation we find ourselves. And we thank you for all the wonderful things that you have in store for us as your people. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 21. Palm Sunday, we always look forward to this. It's a reminder each year. And all four of the Gospels give this account of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Jesus had been to Jerusalem, no doubt, many times. It was nothing new for him. Every year, the men were to attend the three major festivals, the major holidays that they had. And so no doubt he had been there many times. His parents took him there for the first time when he was 12 years old, you remember, and he discussed matters with the doctors and there in the temple, the rabbis, and they were astonished at who he was at that time. But many other times throughout his career, he had been there with his disciples in Jerusalem. And here it is, Passover season. Right about this time of the year, right? Passover, I think, is this coming Friday. I believe it is. And it goes on even today. But this, of course, goes back to the time when the Lord God liberated the people of Israel from Egypt, from the slavery. And they celebrated it from that time on, the time of Moses, until today. And will continue, I'm sure, until it's all over. So we find here, this time it's different. Instead of coming in like everyone else, Jesus had a special entrance this time. We find that he presents himself to the people as the king. You know, many times throughout his ministry, Jesus had told his disciples, don't tell them who I am. You know, he kept it a secret, didn't he? He said, until the proper time. And here we find the proper time, as it had been prophesied in the Old Testament. And now, notice the scene. Jerusalem is crowded here with people from all over the known world. This is the biggest holiday of the year, celebrating the Passover. And Jesus comes to the city, but before entering in, he sends two of his disciples to get a donkey and a colt that are in a certain place there in this little town, Bethphage, I believe you call it. And they go there to get this donkey. And he tells them exactly where the donkey is. And actually, there's two of them. Where they are. And tells them what to say in case they need to make an excuse or whatever for getting the donkey. And he tells them, he says, just tell them, the Lord hath need of them. The Lord has need of them. And then we find, yes, they do ask them, why are you loosing the donkey? Now this is over in Luke chapter 19, verse 33. It says, as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. It seems that Jesus might have made previous arrangements, we're not sure, or if they were perhaps disciples that were willing to let him use the donkey. But at any rate, we find here that it all works out. And these two disciples get the donkey and come and give it to Jesus. Now, we don't know who these disciples were, right? Two of the disciples. Jesus had 12, right? Well, we know it wasn't one of them. Judas Iscariot was off the scene by now, so we had 11, right? And often we find that when Jesus sent people on assignments, it was Peter and John. You can check that out looking through the Gospels. It could have been them, or it might have been Andrew and Thomas, or someone else. You know. Anyway, two people had the job of getting this transportation for Jesus. Unusual transportation indeed, but it's to fulfill Scripture. Why did Jesus ride a donkey into Jerusalem? That's the question. On the surface, it sounds like a strange thing to be doing, right? Now, I'm sure that it wasn't too comfortable, probably. And it said that this is the first time this donkey had been ridden. And so Jesus had to figure out how to do this. But there's a verse over in Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. And we find here the prophecy of this. It says in verse 9, so that's easy, right? Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. See? Here, hundreds of years before Jesus ever was born, Zechariah prophesies that this is what the Messiah is going to do, what the King of Israel is going to do. And he describes him, describes who the King is. He is a righteous one, He has salvation that he's offering. He's humble and lowly and riding upon this donkey. And it says there's also a colt there as well. See? See the details in the prophecy, right? That was given. And these people, some of them at least, knew this. They had studied this, no doubt, in their meetings and in their services. And they knew that the Messiah was going to come in this way. So Jesus is making it very public this time who he is. You see, there's no secret now. It's all coming out in the open that he is the one that they have been looking for so long. The anointed one of God, the Messiah, the King. And here he comes, riding on a donkey. You know, usually the kings would ride on white horses, right? These majestic animals, and show forth themselves as great conquerors. But Jesus is coming in a different way. He comes on a donkey. He comes in peace. See? And he is the Prince of Peace. So he was welcomed with great joy by the people of Jerusalem. Notice here we find his character. And they are looking to him and are welcoming him. Now some of them didn't know what was going on, as usual. And they said, who is this? Where did he come from? Who is this person? And they said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, right? And the one that has been helping so many people, the one who has been so gracious to come and to meet the needs of so many. And here we find that he comes on down, and the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet. And here we see the celebration of the crowd. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the crowd greeted him with praise and rejoicing. Notice they are excited about this. And the great multitude, it says in verse 8, spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them along the way. And the multitudes went before and followed, crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So here we find the crowd praising him and rejoicing, thinking, hey, something exciting is going to happen here, right? Here's the king, finally. You know, it's like we often say, you know, Jesus is coming, you know. That's an exciting thing to think about, isn't it? Yeah. And here we find he actually came to these people. And no doubt they were excited about it. And they thought, wait, what is happening here? Prophecy is being fulfilled. And something great is about to happen. And so they're rejoicing. Just like we would rejoice if Jesus actually did come. You ever think about that? He's coming. And we no doubt will receive him with joy, but at the same time, maybe with a little bit of fear, you know. Are we ready to meet him if he would come? And here we find these people crying out, Hosanna. Hosanna. What does Hosanna mean? It means save now. Interesting. Lord, here you are. We need you. We need your salvation. We need your deliverance. We need all of that. Your help. They cried out to him, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now this is taken from over in Psalm 118. Psalm 118. I have it here. Well, I know I have it here. Here I go again. I thought I'd print it out this time so I wouldn't have to look for it. And here we are. Psalm 118, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now. That's Hosanna. Hosanna. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. This is what they cried out there as Jesus was riding in to Jerusalem. Hosanna. Save now, O Lord. Here's the moment. Now, many of them wanted to be delivered from their oppression. They wanted to be delivered from Rome, right? From all of the problems that they were facing. Just like today, so often, we want to be rid of our problems as well, right? And we pray and we ask God to take them away. But here, Jesus was there in the midst. And they thought, this is the time. This is when we're going to get all that we need. And so they were rejoicing. And for a few brief moments, Jesus received the acclaim that he deserved. Here they were rejoicing. However, it was very short-lived, wasn't it? And the leaders of Israel did not accept him. They criticized him because these people were praising him. They said, Master, make them stop. You know, we don't want to hear this. This is wrong. We're the ones that's in charge here. In other words, they didn't say that, but that's what they meant. You know, you're not the king. We're the ones that's leading this situation. And they criticized him for it. But finally, he was able to finish up. But notice what happens. Here we find these, the ones that were in charge were plotting to kill him at the same time that the people were praising him. See, and we know later, of course, that week they carried that out. And notice here, Jesus was not deceived by any of this. He knew exactly what was happening and that this was not going to last. Here in in the Gospel of Luke 19, we find something strange going on as Jesus was riding into the city. Luke 19:41 says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee," here's a prophecy, "that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." So Jesus was not deceived at all by what was happening. He knew what lay ahead for him and for his people. And here he prophesies in advance, 70 AD, when the Roman army came in and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and the people were put down completely. And what a horrible time that was. But Palm Sunday, you know, is the prelude for Good Friday. We're having that this Friday evening, the communion, when Jesus was crucified, right? What happens here between Sunday and Friday? And when Jesus was crucified, in less than a week, the adoring crowd was turned, it seems, into an angry mob, crying out for his blood to be shed. Now, I did read something. It's possible this could have been different people, right? Here, these people were worshiping him and proclaiming him as king. Later, it could have been a different crowd, I guess. Because you remember, there was this other man named Barabbas, right? Remember Barabbas? He was an insurrectionist and he was a thief and he was scheduled to be killed, to be crucified. And the people had the opportunity to either release one of these prisoners. And you remember, instead of releasing Jesus as Pilate had recommended, what did they do? They said, "Let's release Barabbas." And the priests and the rulers said, "Call for Barabbas! Call for Barabbas!" And some people have said, well, perhaps, you know, they knew that this was going to happen, that the people would have an opportunity to release someone. So all the friends of Barabbas, perhaps, were present to gladly call out his name and have him released. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's certainly a possibility. Maybe it wasn't the same crowd. We always blame them for this, but that may not have been. At any rate, we find that that was the situation, wasn't it? That they cried out here for his praise and there for his death. Crucify him! Crucify him! What a terrible thing. And so here we find a mixed multitude, so to speak. Some of the people praising the Lord, others, the leaders of Israel, rejecting him, turning him aside, and saying, "We will not have this man rule over us." See the antagonism of the leaders. Looking down at verse 12, it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said, it's written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The people, the leaders did not like this. When Jesus exerted his authority, he said, this is my house, the house of prayer. You've made it into a den of thieves. This is where we find the opposition. They were sore, displeased, and because of this, in verse 15, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, right? They weren't happy about this at all. They wanted the people to reject Jesus. And finally, they did persuade them eventually to do that very thing. But they were angry that he accepted the worship of the multitude. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. And so they turned against him. He says, they said to him, verse 16, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yeah. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? You see? The Lord wants us to praise him, even though we may not be important people like these rulers were. He said, even out of the mouth of little children, infants, you have perfected praise. We certainly need to praise God for what he does. And here Jesus, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Lord, the King, is present. And we need to praise him for what he is and what he has done. You know, there are people today that are openly antagonistic to Christ, like these rulers were, the leaders of Israel. And they seek to work against him and his kingdom. There are others who love him and seek to live for him and praise him and give him the glory, like we do, right? We want to see the Lord uplifted and rejoice in him. But most people today, I think, are just indifferent to who he is, his claim upon their lives. They just want to live according to their own ideas, and they don't yield themselves to him. The question today is, who is Jesus Christ to you? Does he make a difference in your life? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? These are the questions that we all need to face and answer honestly. And looking forward to that day when Jesus comes again. Jesus is coming, and he will receive his people unto himself. So those who have put their trust in him and his sacrifice, his atoning sacrifice, to forgive their sins, they will be the ones that will rejoice at his presence. But there'll be others that when they see him coming, they'll be asked for the rocks to fall upon them and to hide them from the face of him who sits on the throne. So we need to make sure that we are in a right relationship with him and can face him honestly and be ready for that time when he comes. So, he is the King. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will rule and reign in majesty. We just need to yield ourselves to him and worship him and adore him and serve him, like these people praising him, but not in such a fickle way, but rather honestly, sincerely. Love the Lord and serve him. May God help us to be that kind of people, that we truly love the Lord and want to honor and magnify his name. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, this morning for your precious word to our hearts and for this wonderful occasion when Jesus made known who he was. Many heard what he said, but so many of them did not receive him. May we hear what he says and believe on him to eternal life and walk in fellowship and serve you daily. May your will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.